This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio. I got a great show for you. You know, I've always said your learning curve is episodic when you hang out with our podcast, or maybe it's episodic education, which is what I love to call what we do. As I said 10 years ago, listen to learn just one thing. But I recently realized that if you don't say and implement it, I'm not really creating an action based on what so many people call, Carm, I got a great idea. This was great. I learned so much. Well, what are you going to do about it is my next question to people. And some of them say, you know, you're making a great point. We really need to do something with all the education that we get from the Aftermarket Radio Network. And we have to thank our great partners as we appreciate them in having them get us to produce this, all this great content for you. More than 16% of light-duty vehicles on the road are EV and hybrid. Is your shop ready to safely and properly service them? Get your shop trained and equipped to service hybrid and EV vehicles with NAPA AutoTech's innovative EV-ready Level 1 high-voltage awareness and maintenance training. Hey, for over 30 years, NAPA Trax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the best, most comprehensive SMS in the industry. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find NAPA Trax on the web at NAPATRACS.com. Hey, welcome back. Let's get started. I'm with my friend Chris Cotton. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Carm. I'm all smiles today, mainly because I don't know where we're going to end up. I know what we're supposed to talk about, but we'll see where we end.
Well, if I know you and if I know me, we can go in a million different places.
Right.
Coach Chris Cotton from Auto Fix Auto Shop Coaching has a show, The Weekly Blitz, on the Aftermarket Radio Network. I've just observed Chris over the years. We've been doing this together on the network for a couple hundred episodes now, which is what, maybe 4 years. I've listened to your stuff. I watch you. You've got this coolest, neatest, newest series going on. By the way, I just happen to love them. They're short, they're concise, they're powerful. I want to talk about that. And about a year ago, he says, hey, I bought a shop.
Right.
I'm going to school to get my degree. I bought a shop. It's like, are you kidding me? First of all, I want to know, what do you eat and how long do you sleep?
I'm up at 4:30 in the morning typically, but I do go to bed early. And then I eat when I remember that I need to eat. But you know, one thing in life falls away and then another thing pops up, right? So I've truly just kind of let it go to the universe and let it, you know, do its thing. And here it is. Plus also, you know, I can't really do the Italian Godfather. Or the last time we were in Buffalo and we had dinner with you and the girls and this Italian family, there's a line in Godfather that says, just when I get out, they pull me back in.
It was Michael Corleone in episode 3. Every time I try to get out, they pull me back in.
We'll talk about it. Like, as far as the business goes, it was really too good of a deal to pass up. And we've talked about it. I've done episodes about it, but really it's done really, really well. But if we want to back up just to the episode, like I wanted to do like a 10 series episode of just, and I guess it's all tied in, right? Like just going back to the basics and doing the things that, you know, need to be done. We've proven this hundreds, if not thousands of times all across the country, Canada, Puerto Rico, what we do works, but people are like, oh, well, you're a coach. You don't know. You're not in it. Blah, blah, blah. I have a unique situation. So one of the reasons why I bought the shop was like, I want to try all the new stuff that, you know, we have now in this shop to see how it works. And man, does that stuff work if you use it and just get in there and get after it?
It's like making bread.
Yeah.
Because the analogy of making bread is you watch it rise. You got to put all the ingredients in it right, and then you watch it rise. And that's one of the most miracle things I think of making bread is it takes a little time to watch it rise.
We'll carry this further because Kimberly makes me watch British Bake Off. Now, in the beginning, she made me watch it. Now, I just kind of watch it because it's kind of interesting. But if you know British Bake Off, you have the guy, Paul Hollywood, and when they're baking the bread or the rolls or whatever, he cracks it open. He's able to look inside and he's like, oh, you didn't let it rise enough. You didn't put enough yeast in it. You know, that's what we do. We look at income statements and we can be like, oh, okay, well, here are the things that need to be done.
It's amazing how when I write my blogs each and every week, I almost say at the end of them, and so if this is happening to you or you feel strong about this, get a coach. And so is it you need an expert, you need an accountability partner, you need a coach. But my thoughts are, well, I'm not really sure. You ever make bread? What do you mean, Chris? Do you ever watch Bread Rise? If we do all these ingredients right, hopefully within 1 year, don't tell me what, I have 2 months to prove to you my worth, but within 1 year, if our goals for margin in sales and profitability are what they are, we'll be able to watch it rise.
Yeah. Sometimes it can just take 2 months. Like, it can be that, just depending on what your situation is.
It's a miracle.
Right.
Hey, what's your role at the shop? Do you go to it ever?
A couple of days a week, I spend a couple of hours there. You know, the whole intent when I was talking to Kimberly and got permission from Kimberly to do this was, like, it's not going to be anything that I am at the counter doing every day. If that's the case, then we've done something wrong. And then the other thing is if anything ever happens, we can just walk away from it and just, like, whatever. We signed for it on August 24th, opened September 2nd, day after Labor Day, and I made the final payment on it halfway through February. So it's paid for, it's debt-free, it's doing its thing.
And you gave yourself in the business plan 1 year to pay for it, but it did so well.
Yeah, we did the owner financing and I agreed to pay for it over 3 years. I was making like a monthly payment every week. And then there were a couple of weeks where I made like 3 monthly payments and was just able to pay the whole thing in 6 months.
Beyond your expectations, Chris.
Yeah, beyond my expectations. But you know, the things that I know, the processes we put in place, they work and they worked really, really well. I have a great staff where they don't need me. It's like, and usually this is what happens when you go from working in the business, working on the business, comes a time when you're just in everybody's way. Like you show up and you do things and you talk to customers and whatever. And then the guys everybody that's in the shop is like, okay, it's great. We love you. When are you leaving?
It's happened to me before. What are you doing here?
Yeah. Why are you here? Yeah.
Why are you here? Because I love you and I want to talk to you.
Yeah. So now Kimberly and I get to do the fun stuff. Like, I showed up the day before 4th of July and cooked hot dogs and brats and everything for everybody. We went through and asked everybody what their favorite candy was, which if you thought that would be an easy task, you are wrong, because some of these people have some really, really interesting candies that they like. And I had to go on the internet and find some and have them shipped in to get what it is. And so, you know, we did that. Mine and Kimberly's 26th anniversary was last week. And the guy said, hey, you need to come to the shop. And we're like, okay, that's weird. And he's like, make sure you bring Kimberly. And so they gave us a card. They gave us a gift card for dinner and massages and everything else. And it seems like they love us. So that's good.
They appreciate you. Congrats on the 26th, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going back to an episode I heard you talk about. Well, you were saying, if I get to the shop and they're shorthanded and I work the counter, one thing you said to me that really resonated is I stand up.
Yeah, I don't sit. In my previous shops, nobody sat. And now I kind of let them have a stool to rest. Of course, I'm 52 now. I got to take a little bit breather every once in a while. But if I'm there working the counter, I take the stool and I put it in the closet in the room and I stand the whole time. That way I'm ready to greet the customer when they walk in. I'm ready to work. If I need to run out in the shop, I just boom, turn and go. And so, yeah, if I have to be at the counter, I'm standing pretty much the whole time.
One of the things I want to cover that Chris did after many, many years is he got his diploma. Give us a minute on that great accomplishment.
It's one of those things that I always wanted to go back and do. And it's probably the most selfish thing I've ever done in my life because it had nothing to do with anybody else. I own my own companies. It's not going to make me a penny more doing anything else. But it was a box that was left unchecked that I wanted to check. And maybe it makes a whole or better person. I don't know. For Piper, I wanted to have her, not that she's even living with us anymore, but I wanted her to come from a family where both the parents had their diplomas. And Kimberly got hers like way back when, like a good person should. And I will tell you, this thing cost about quadruple what it cost me the first time if I'd have just done it the first time. But I checked the box, I got it done. But the other inspiration was Piper was in college. She graduated the day before me. So my daughter and I, Piper, we're both class of 2025. And so we'll always share that and have that too.
I love it. Let's go back to the business you bought last September. Are there deals like that out there for shop owners?
There are, but you have to look for them. You have to find them and you have to be willing to walk away. Like you can't negotiate with somebody and then come back and then give a little and then do whatever. This is the other thing when Kimberly and I were talking about it. You know, numbers never lie, the math maths. and I was willing to do X and they were not. And so I'm like, okay, I'm done, and walked away for a couple of weeks. And then they called me back and they're like, well, hey, we've thought about it and we'd like to offer X. And then I was like, nope, that's not the deal that I asked for. So no, I'm out. And then, you know, it helps if you're the only person interested. And if nobody else is interested, then, you know, you're in a position of power.
I guess where I'm going with this, and I know you are too, it has to make financial sense for the buyer. It has to. Basically, what is, listen, whatever I'm going to pay, you got to pay it off in 5 years, 3 years, owner finance, however the numbers work. And the only way you can judge it is on the current P&Ls.
Right. And so here's the other thing. You have to judge it off the current P&Ls. I just talked to a shop owner earlier today. He was trying, here's the other thing is, like, there are so many people retiring out. They call it the silver tsunami, the people, whatever the age are, and they're either like selling out, giving the business away, or just closing the doors and walking away. I talked to another shop owner this morning that was evaluating a business here in Colorado. On the books, it only showed that they made $100,000 a year, but the owner and the wife were like, hey, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, it really makes $350,000 a year. We just put all this cash aside. I told them if they can't prove it, then it didn't happen. Like I've never seen anybody buy one of those businesses and it turn out in their favor. It usually always turns out against them.
I think it's great advice to give anyone who is prepping to sell to legitimize all of your stuff.
Right. Like 3 to 5 years before you are ready to sell.
Yeah, and it's not just putting the cash aside. It's the kind of expenses you're running through the business too. And, you know, people call that normalizing the P&L, but you're not going to see every receipt that they flushed. All right. So the deals are out there, but you got to be careful. You just don't be calming. Don't jump in.
Yeah. And what I tell is, if you're not prepared to walk away, then you shouldn't be buying it. Like, if things go against you and you rush through and still buy it anyway, it's probably not going to work out well.
Hey, did you ever think you'd be here in this position 10 years ago?
No. If you'd asked me a little over a year ago, I'd still been saying I would still never own a shop again. I love coaching so much. I still do. Buying a shop is not even on my radar. But again, you know, this kind of just fell in my lap and we just ran with it.
Chris, what's important to you as a coach to a client? Is it to become their accountability partner, to be an expert, or to be a coach, or is there a mixture of all?
It's a mixture of all, but really, so, you know, my football coaching background, like when I was in high school, my coach never had to yell at me. Like, I could come off the field and look at my coach and I could see the disappointment in his face, which would almost put me into tears and be like, holy crap, I messed up. I need to do better. The clients that I work with, I want them to be disappointed if they're not doing what we talk about. Like, I want them to feel some sort of internal pain and be like, man, I have to talk to Chris in an hour and I didn't do a thing that he said. You know, the reason why we talk about these things is because we know they work. And the reason why we ask you to do them is because it makes your life better and makes your employees' life better. That's kind of the way I've always looked at it. Is, I guess maybe the accountability partner is kind of where that feeds into more, but I want them to feel the sting of disappointing me.
Any great story that you can tell, hide the names to protect the innocent?
Oh my gosh, for a coaching session or whatever? Yeah.
Just coaching success. You've turned people's lives around and businesses around.
Like, the first one that pops in my head is with a female shop owner. We were talking about having tough discussions with employees without telling her that she was kind of soft and letting people walk over her. I was kind of pushing her to be a little firmer with the people around her. And she started doing this and really kind of took control of the business. And one day she goes, you know, we were talking about it and I kind of walked her through the way I did it without her realizing it. And I think it was something like, I think I felt my spine grow a little bit this week. And she goes, now I think I have a backbone where my wishbone used to be.
I love it. That is a great, I mean, that makes your day, makes your month.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love getting texts from clients. It's like, oh, we just had the best week we've ever had. We just had the best day we ever had, you know. So-and-so, I was able to go on vacation for 3 weeks and not come into the store. We had a client that, like, his main goal was, I want to be able to take my kids to school every day. I want to walk them to school and then come home and then do what I need to do. And so, you know, we spent about 18 months trying to get everything in place to where the business could operate without him and, you know, set up a plan and a schedule so that he could stay home every Wednesday morning and walk his kids to school. And then before you know it, it's like every morning, Monday through Friday, he's walking his kids to school. And then he goes into the shop and then works half a day and then comes home.
Wow. And he wouldn't have done it had he not hired or gotten a coach, accountability partner, whatever. You know, coach is going to help me. I hear too many negatives. And then once somebody has decided to stop struggling, digging a deep hole for themselves, after they start seeing the success flow in their business, then they say, I should have done this earlier. It takes time for somebody to admit that, it seems.
And a lot of time people reach out and they're like, oh my gosh, that's a lot of money, or this is that. And then they leave, and then they reach back out like a year, 18 months later. And they're like, okay, it's only gotten worse. It's not gotten better. I'm in a worse position now. And then the first thing I say to them, I'm like, that's great. We can still help you. But just imagine where you'd be now if we would have started then. All of the pain would have been over with. You'd have been on doing your things, but it's fine. We'll start now. We'll start when you're ready.
Are you a Napa Auto Care Center who is ready to take your shop to the next level? Then the Premier Tier Napa Auto Care Gold Certified Program is exactly what you need. Gold Certified Auto Care Centers provide customers with a consistent experience no matter where they are in the U.S. Now, this means they are more likely to return and support your shop or find your Gold Certified Auto Care Center while on the road. Gold Certified members can maximize technology, increase their local marketing opportunities, and have a fully trained team that keeps up with the latest trends. Simply put, the Gold Certified Napa Auto Care Program, powered by your local brand, will set you apart. A true partnership is a two-way street. Shops must meet specific criteria to be eligible for the many benefits of Gold. Now, Napa Auto Care rewards its most committed partners, their Gold certified members, with free premium shop referrals on the Napa online locator, annual marketing dollars, an enhanced warranty, training opportunities, program rebates, and so much more. Are you ready to get started? Contact your local Napa sales representative to discuss your eligibility and apply today. More than 16% of light-duty vehicles on the road are EV and hybrid. Is your shop ready to safely and properly service them? Get your shop trained and equipped to service hybrid and EV vehicles with Napa Auto Tech's innovative EV-ready Level 1 high-voltage awareness and maintenance training. Hey, take your auto care center to the next level, the gold level, with the Napa Auto Care Gold Certified Program. This program is for the best of the best who can provide a consistent consumer experience and earn the trust of returning and new customers. Talk to your Napa sales representative about how you can become a gold certified shop. Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. Napa Trax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. Napa Trax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Napa Trax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. Chris, are you hard on yourself?
Kimberly would be the great person to ask about that. Like, I'm pretty happy-go-lucky kind of guy, and if something happens, it's just kind of like what we would say, water off a duck's back. But probably if I had a therapist and was talking to a therapist, the therapist would probably say, yeah, he's probably a little hard on himself.
Got it. Wow. Struggling with anything right now?
Just navigating life. Like, there's all kinds of stuff flying at me and just trying to get it all figured out, right? Like, how do you be the best person? I guess the only thing that I struggle with now is we're getting ready to leave this week and go move Piper home for a month. And then she's going to move to Germany. And like, that's mine and Kimberly's struggle now. Like, she, you know, will she ever move back to the United States again or not? I don't know. Probably not. So that's the only struggle now that I think that I have.
Good. Congrats to her. And she's an interpreter, right? Is that what she's going to want to become?
Her major was German and then political science. I always forget how the languages work. I think it starts at A and then goes to C when you're like fluent. So she's the highest level B, and then she just needs to get two levels in the C to be considered fluent and I guess get a certificate. And so she's going to do that and then start a master's program in Germany. But because she'll be doing her master's program in Germany, she's like, I think I'll need to do a little bit better at the language before I start this master's program. So she's going to go do that and then go from there.
So what's next at the shop? By the way, it's called Firestone of
Durango.
Durango, right.
Yep, Durango, Colorado. Recently, the end of May, 1st of June, we had the opportunity to hire two really great employees. And I didn't want to let them go to any of my competitors. So I'm like, okay, guys, here's the thing. We're stacked with people Monday through Friday. We don't have another place to put anybody. One of them was a service advisor. One of them was a technician. And I'm like, the only way we can make this work is if we move everybody in the shop to 4 days on, 3 days off, and then open up on Saturday and have you guys, or excuse me, open on Saturday, Sunday, and have you guys open the weekend. So both of them were like, we want to work for you. And if that's what we need to do to get into the company, then that's what we'll do. So we've been open 7 days a week starting in June. So June's the best month we have ever had. June is the best month this business has ever had in 40 years. Our weekends are just as busy as the weeks. We're billing out as much on Saturday and Sunday as we would during the week. But we live in a big travel community or tourist area. So we have a lot of people from Texas, Arizona, New Mexico travel through. And like, I was in the shop a little bit on Saturday and we sold like 3 walk-in batteries. Just people like, hey, I'm broke down. Can't get to the shop. I need a battery. Tires, people with like diag repair. And then we're the only shop in town that's open on Sunday. Like there's nobody else. If you break down in our town on Sunday, you're just stuck unless you can limp out of town some way.
But is it seasonal? I mean, will this only happen in the summer?
I don't really know. You know, we're in the mountains, so we have our seasonal is pretty much year round because we have rafting, hiking, mountain biking in the summertime. And then in the wintertime, we have snowmobiling, snow skiing, all of that. So my guess is probably going to be less, but I think it'll probably still be good. Again, if we're the only people that's open on town on Sunday. The other thing that I've noticed it lets us do is it lets us get out work that maybe didn't get finished on Friday. If we have time, then we'll pop a car over, get it finished, call the customer 2 days early and be like, hey, we were able to finish your car on Saturday. And so we're able to bill it out. But what that does is it frees up our week again so that we can take in more work during the week. So we're a say yes and figure it out kind of shop. So when a customer calls, we say yes, whereas other places in town, you call some places and they're like, oh, it's 3 weeks before we can get anything done for like breaks or anything.
There's so many stories to talk about the 3 weeks. You can really look inside the business and
drives me nuts. I hate it.
And do the math and figure out why they're out 3 weeks because their efficiency is probably in the tank. Anyway, besides from the two that you recently hired, does the rest of the team come from the previous business?
No. Well, about half of the team we have now came from the previous business.
And the reason that I ask, Chris, is I'm trying to understand, you came in, you did your coaching thing on your own business and brought the processes and the systems and the marketing and everything to play. Did anybody leave because they didn't want to fit into the new way?
No, everybody that left was asked to leave. So we had a couple people that they just didn't fit. We had a technician that had quality issues. And then had honor and integrity issues. And so that person didn't get to stick around. But I can honestly say too that everybody that we let go, we have upgraded at that position. Like we're in better shape now than what we were. There were a couple of people that I probably knew going into it that I was like, we probably shouldn't carry these people over into the business. But I also didn't want to skew my thought process with the manager that I hired. I wanted him to be able to evaluate those people and be like, no, I can turn this person around, or, you know, I think we can make this work, but it didn't work in either of those situations. So
I'm with Chris Cotton, Auto Fix Auto Shop Coaching at autoshopcoaching.com and also the Weekly Blitz podcast on the Aftermarket Radio Network. What's next in year two for the shop? Obviously, you must want to triple and double your volume. What's going on?
I mean, our volume as it is pretty good. Like just to give you an idea, we did more labor in June than they did in total sales the previous June. So just think about that. And we raised the labor rate a little bit, not a whole lot, but we're just way more productive and we just bill out way more hours.
What was the old shop not doing? I mean, obviously there was a lot that they weren't doing.
First of all, they were using an older system and they weren't inspecting any vehicles at all. They were just doing burgers and fries and no preventative maintenance, none of that. And then the other thing is they were spending $0 on advertising, zero. And I think it was just because, I don't know if they were trying to make their numbers look better, or if they thought because they've been there for 39 years that they were, that spend less. But I will tell you, we're spending on average about $10,000 a month just for advertising. But I also tell my clients, you need to advertise for the shop you want to be, not the shop you are. So I'm advertising like I'm a $200,000 a month shop. And, last month we did 160 and we're on track to do 190 this month. And so, we're advertising like we're a $200,000 a month shop and we're getting there.
Chris, that's a hell of a lesson. Do you ever take that mentality, spend on your marketing based on the size shop you want to be? Do you ever give that to a client? They say, cool, Chris, I'm going to try it. And it works?
It works every time. I've never seen it not work. Never. It typically always works, right? Because you're opening up the possibilities. But the other thing is you have to make sure that you're not advertising to be a bigger shop and then turning everybody away because you're telling everybody you're so busy. Our next biggest hurdle now is we've outgrown our shop because we just have a small 4-bay shop, right? And we're going to do, I know we're open 7 days a week, but we're going to do almost $200,000 on a shop with 4 bays. So we're in the process of getting a building really near to us so that we can expand into that building and free up some space in our other shop. So I think we'll go from 4 bays to 8 or 9 bays.
And you'll just move work over?
Yeah. So what we would do is we would move kind of like the tire and lube side of the business over into this other building and keep the main repair. And then we can still do brakes and other stuff in that building, but it frees up space in our current building and would make it like the main repair shop, if you will.
ADAS calibration, maybe?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't even know where we would put it, Carm. We'd have to figure that out. But maybe that's another building down another block and it's his own building. It could be. There's a couple of shops in town that already do it. What's happened is the shop was busy and then we've said yes and we've got it so busy that even now there's been a couple of times where I've driven up and couldn't find a place to park, not even for 5 minutes. And then I'm looking at the schedule and I'm always the one pointing at the guy saying, bring it in. And there were some times in the last week or two where I was just like, there's no possible way we can get that done. And so we've had to turn people away, which drives me nuts because I don't want to turn anybody away. So the only way to do that is to find more bays to say yes more.
Let's go back to the two people you recently hired. Where are you finding them?
They just walk in off the street. And, this has been something that I've been telling people all along. I think you've heard me say this, I'll fist fight somebody, arm wrestle them. I don't think there's a technician shortage if you have a great shop. And one of them had just moved to town. The service advisor just moved to town. He lives in a town just to the east of us. And so he had started there and just started coming this way and then looked online and saw everything we're doing on Facebook and everything else. And was like, hey, there are other shops that are closer, but I want to work for you guys. Same thing with the techs. Our technicians and our manager know enough people in town that they've worked with tons of people. And the more they talk to other people, the more other people want to come work for us.
Chris, where are you spending the money? Google AdWords, Facebook, where are you spending?
We spend a lot of money on all of it. But really, for a general repair shop, the best bang for your dollar right now is local service ads. It's called LSAs, something brand new. We're still spending money on Google AdWords, but what we're doing is we're taking the amount of money in Google AdWords and we're shifting it over to local service ads. I did a pretty good episode with Brian Walker a couple of weeks ago, and that's all we talked about was local service ads. But if you're a general repair shop, that's the place to be in the local service ads. And then you can also supplement that with Google AdWords and then Facebook. Here's the other thing, Carm. Also being allowed to beta test a lot of this stuff new that most of these new companies don't want to try on a regular shop. And I'm like, hell yeah, let's just try it. I don't care. We're doing another thing now. I've never been really, really big on postcards, but I had a company come to me and they're like, hey, we're not postcards. It's like a harder plastic type card. and we'd like to try some new beta stuff with you. So we started that. That went out like 5-6 weeks ago. And now we're starting to get all of these cards from brand new customers. And the average repair order is pretty high. The average repair order with the local service ads has always been high too. Almost double what our regular average repair order is.
So I'm a new client. I pick up the phone. Chris, I've heard about you. I really need to do this coaching thing. What are the first couple questions you ask a person like that? What should they be prepared to tell a coach?
Well, first thing I ask them is like, what's keeping you up at night? Like if there are like 3-4 things that are just like driving you nuts, let's talk about those. You know, one of the other things is we look at their income statement, their business summary, and those are all quick fixes. And those are all things where us coaches take a beating because they're like, well, all you want to do is raise the labor rate and charge more for parts. And the quick answer to that is because we've been screwing it up for however long and you're not charging correctly. We got to fix that first and then we can do the rest. So if you truly needed more cars, I don't want to get you more cars until the dollars and cents side of the business is fixed.
You know, it reminds me because of the toxicity that you do see on social media that says you don't need a coach. All you need to do is all they're going to tell you to do is this. Why spend the money? And when I hear any coach tell me how it prevents a lot of people from getting in, the word that I heard from you was foundational. There are things that need to be done. And if you're not doing them, I guess you can hire me to do them. But after that, it's like, ooh, yeast and water and eggs and flour. You got to watch it rise. And guess what? If you don't do the recipe right and it doesn't rise, now what?
And the other thing, before I bought the shop that I bought, when we were negotiating back and forth, I was like, look, you're not in a really good position to sell because you don't have a business that you can sell. I go, why don't you hire me to coach you? I'll work with you for 2 years and then you can sell the business and whatever. Like, I don't even want to buy the business. If you want coaching, let me coach you. And I gave him like a list of 10 things that I identified when I was doing my due diligence. I'm like, here's all the things you need to do to turn this business around and do it. Now, I'll also tell you this gentleman was in his 70s. So him personally probably just didn't have much left to give. But all I've done is do all the things that I told him to do. And in the first half of this year, we're up $300,000 over what they did previously. So we're probably going to do, well, we'll do more than that. We'll probably be up another $450,000 to $500,000. So we'll probably do $800,000 more this year in sales than what they did. And we have the same space. Like we have the same footprint. We're just doing things differently.
Chris, if you were sitting down with a client, we've talked a lot of age here, 70s, you know, oh, in my 50s and in 60s, the silver. Would you call it the silver connection?
Silver tsunami is what it's called.
The silver tsunami. Thank you. But prepping for a sale, don't just hire me to grow and build your profitable business. We have to do that, but we also have to prep for the sale, which means I got to make sure you're not working in the business.
Right. Yeah. And so the other thing I will say before we get into this, so don't let me lose track, is like, our model is always to net our clients 25% or better net profit. And we've held that since we opened. I just did my numbers for last week. We netted 31% last week.
Good for you. And in the typical shop, we continue to hear on an average is what, 5 to 8, Chris?
5 to 8%. Yeah. You know, we're just doing it because we can. So your question was if we're ready to prep for a sale.
Yeah, prepping them to sell the business, but they can't be the centerpiece of the business.
No, and that's the other thing. Like, that's one of the things that I kind of dinged them on the beginning, because originally I was told this was a turnkey business and I had a manager in place that could run the business and you don't need to be here. Well, we started doing our due diligence and they had let that person go and the owner had stepped back in. And so I'm like, okay, now I have to come up with a number to replace that person because I'm not working in the shop. So that was, you know, something you got to watch out for. But a lot of these smaller shops, you look at them and the owner is the service advisor and one of the technicians, the spouse is the bookkeeper and handles all the accounting and they have one technician in the shop, but the other two want to leave. And so you have a business that you either have to hire and put a lot of labor dollars into or whatever. So you really have to create a business that you can leave and go to Hawaii for a week a year and not have to be there. And it runs without you. You know, you don't get any crazy calls. And then what we're seeing on all this crazy money that people are paying for shops nowadays, it's one thing to have a shop that runs profitably. And then it's another to have a shop that runs profitably, has processes and procedures, and the owner isn't there. But what happens is if you have an owner that's not in their business, you might get your 2 or 3 times EBITDA or net profits. I hate the word EBITDA because most people, their eyes glaze over. But anyway, so if you're getting 3 times net profit, but if you have great processes and procedures and you're not ever there, then you can take that 3 and multiply it times another 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 if you don't have to be there, because the people that have the big money are other shop owners that are looking to expand, be MSOs, or this big investment money that people are looking for. And the way to truly sell your business and make money is to have it stand alone without you having to be there.
EBITDA, earnings before income tax and amortization. Oh, duh. Anyway, I get that, but
my eyes just glazed over when you said that.
In a lot of the big kinds of deals, EBITDA is where the factoring happens at. Anyway, let's talk about your manager in the closing of the show. Does your manager see the P&Ls, and are they making decisions on marketing too?
Not yet, but that's something that we're working into. Like, we're already talking about how do I exit the business and how do they buy me out and what that looks like. So really, again, we're just ending the first year. So we've kind of been like had so much growth that everybody's just had their hair on fire, just trying to keep afloat. But there's a couple of conferences that I've already signed him up for next year. I saw a class on WorldPack that just came up, and it's going to be August 6th with Murray Voth. I'm going to put him in that. And I can teach all that stuff, but I kind of like to let him learn it from other people first, and then we can talk about it and refine it for what we're doing.
That's a brilliant move. Hear it from someone else. Come back, tell me, teach me what you learned. They learn when they teach and they explain to you. And then you can find out if they're picking it up and learning it. And then watch to see if they're actually doing what you sent them to school for.
So that's the next step, is kind of moving him forward.
Invest in your people. I love it.
Yeah. And I will tell you, it's funny. I'm 52. I'm the oldest person in the company. We've got kind of apprentice level or younger technicians that are my daughter's age. And then the store manager's in his 40s. But he was a longtime technician that was just like, you know what? My body's going to be wore out in another 10 years and I'm not going to be able to do anything. So he wanted to go out and become a manager, learn that side of the business and not wreck his body in the next 10 to 20 years and try to retire after that.
I so love this, Chris. Thank you. We haven't done a one-on-one, just let the wheels roll, in such a long time. I'm excited about this series, this Back to Basics series. I know you just recently released number 4. One was Better Communicate, Back to Basics. Number 2 was Know Your Numbers, the KPIs, Make or Break the Company. Number 3 was Talk It Out, Fixing Broken Communications. And then number 4, recently released, beginning to give you an idea when we're recording this, Workflow Matters More Than You Think. And I loved it because you said, got to do this, this, and this. You gave someone an outline. It was beautiful. It was great. And you're going to do 6 more in that series, huh?
Yeah, I'm getting ready to do a couple more. And again, it's just like the basics is what people need. Like, there's so many new people in the industry, people that have no experience with our industry that are looking for help and looking for answers. And so somebody that's been doing this for 20 years is probably going to get in there and be like, oh my gosh, can't believe I'm listening to this. But they should be able to pull a couple things out of there to help them. And again, you know, I'm talking about a business that's operated for 39 years. We'll have our 40-year anniversary this year. They just needed to go back to basics and go back to what they forgot, if they ever knew it. That's the other thing, you know, we talk about is you don't know what you don't know until you know it. Sometimes the basics really, really help.
And I love what you just said just a bit ago, and I think it's worthy of repeating. I'm sending him to classes that I want him to go to. It's no different than to take an individual you see promise. It doesn't mean they could be an owner someday, but promise to be a better leader, to expand themselves, to give them some self-value, self-worth, to listen to the Aftermarket Radio Network and all the great stuff that we provide, and having someone come back and saying, hey, listen to learn just one thing. And what was it? Cool. Do we need to do this? Yes. How can you implement it? Or will you implement it? Or can we implement it? I just love that. And I think that's a big takeaway. Invest the continuing education in your people, because they want it. They need it. I think they'll be loyal because of it. And you're going to build yourself a better person.
Right. We've done this as well. Like, we had another younger technician that was I forget how old Joey was. He's in his early 20s, I think, or mid 20s, 25. And his back is just not any good anymore. And so he went to the back doctor, went to rehab, went to PT, and the doctor's just like, look, you need a new career. And so it was either us let him go and go do something else or us find a place to put him. And so we put him at the service counter and he's green, learning stuff at the service counter. He's doing really, really great. We got to work on his tone and some other stuff, but he knows what he's talking about and he's going to end up going to classes soon as well. And so rather than jettisoning him out of the industry, we decided to keep in him and invest in him, and he'll do an amazing job.
Good. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
I had a blast. Whoa. Chris Cotton, Auto Fix Auto Shop Coaching at AutoshopCoaching.com and the Weekly Blitz. Chris, thanks so much, man.
Thanks for having me. You guys have a good weekend. And I don't know, how's the weather up there?
It's warm and rainy, actually.
Yeah, we need some rain. It's warm. We live in Colorado in the mountains, about 7,000 feet, and they didn't used to put air conditioners in these houses 50 years ago when ours was built. And it's been pretty hot, like in the 90s with no air conditioning. It's just been interesting.
All right. Well, I'll give you a secret too. I don't have air conditioning. I only need it like 10 days a year, Chris. 10 days a year, I have baseboard heat. Anyway, thanks, man.
You bet. Thank you. Have a good one.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.